Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Claire Santema here, host of Final Days on Earth. Thanks so much for tuning in to my second season on the life and death of Jennifer Harris. For those of you who are missing the Damien Heard case from my first season, I wanted to let you know that the Prosecutor's Podcast is doing a special 3-episode series on Damien called Colorado Kool-Aid. Check it out. And now, back to this week's show. On the final night of Jennifer Harris's life, she left the house to visit a friend and never came home. It was Mother's Day, 2002, and Jennifer had spent the day visiting family. Her own mother had passed away 5 years earlier, back when Jennifer was newly married to Rob Holman. The holidays still hit hard, and Jennifer, now divorced, was reportedly feeling nostalgic. One of the last things Jennifer said was, "No one should be alone on Mother's Day."
So I think that it was all kind of coming home to her and hitting home.
From Cold Case Productions, this is Final Days on Earth, Season 2, The Life and Death of Jennifer Harris, Episode 3, Mother's Day. I'm your host, Claire Santema. Thanks for listening. On our last episode, we left off with Alyssa and Rob's intense conversation at Grandma Mimi's house in Bonham.
You know, I said, "Come in the house," and so he came in, and I could tell he felt really uncomfortable.
Rob had shown up uninvited, but wanting to talk. During that conversation, the first details about Jennifer's actions on Mother's Day were starting to be uncovered.
She looked him up. To mom and dad's to see my mom.
But investigators needed more, needed to go back even further, needed to understand what she did, with whom, and why. And so now we will retrace Jennifer's steps, starting with what she did on Mother's Day. It's May 12th, 2002, and a sleepy Jennifer Harris is getting a late start on this Sunday morning. Jennifer had spent the better part of the weekend in Austin, chaperoning the Bonham High School girls' track meet, before making the 5-hour drive back to her grandmother's house. It's Mother's Day, and Jennifer is having to mark the holiday without her own mom, who died in 1997 from brain cancer. As if that wasn't heavy enough, Jennifer was also dealing with a recent divorce and the loss of her business, Stone Lee Massage and Wellness. The company that she had started with her then-boyfriend, James Hamilton, closed its doors in February after struggling financially.
She was depressed because her mom had died, and she threw everything into her business.
This is Jennifer's cousin, Susan Bowen, talking to investigators in 2002.
And when she threw everything into her business, then she let everything else go. And she said nothing made her happy. Her house, having a new house, redoing it, Rob, nothing.
After waking up around 10 a.m., Jennifer made 2 phone calls, one to her dad and one to her ex-husband, Rob Holman.
She got real upset because it was Mother's Day, I would come over.
This is from Rob's 2002 interview with investigators.
So I told her that I couldn't, I think. Or that I wasn't going to. And she hung up and called back. Real upset. And said that she was going to. It wasn't right that I was being like that since it was Mother's Day.
According to Rob, Jennifer said she wanted to come over to see his mom and dad. But Rob didn't like that idea because his new girlfriend was already going to be there. After Jennifer and Rob divorced in October 2000, Rob had started dating someone new in Bonham. Sarah Beth Ruffner. But that new relationship hadn't stopped old habits. Investigators had already noted Rob's number in Jennifer's phone records from Mother's Day, and in his interview with police, Rob admitted that his continued contact with Jennifer had created conflict with his girlfriend.
We'd see each other about every 2 weeks.
Pretty much by what I'm hearing and seeing, she wanted to get back with you.
Oh, she did. She has ever since we split up. Mm-hmm. Phone calls and, the whole nine yards.
In fact, Rob told police that on Mother's Day, he specifically left the house to go driving around to avoid the chance of a confrontation with Jennifer at Sarah Beth's house, where he was now living.
Kind of scared Jennifer would show up over there for a confrontation, whatever it was. She's done that several times before.
Rob wasn't only worried about a confrontation, he was worried he'd get caught in his infidelity.
Does Sarah Beth, does she know about the baby?
The baby? What baby? No.
What were we going to tell her?
I wasn't going to. It wasn't mine.
Wasn't yours.
No.
The audio quality isn't great here, so let me walk you through what we just heard. In Detective Kelly Warren's interview with Rob, he asks him point blank, does Sarah Beth know about the baby? There's a pause, and Rob says, baby? What baby? Detective Warren says softly, Jennifer's. And Rob drops his head and says, no. Here again is Rob's girlfriend, Sarah Beth, talking to investigators about what she understood to be the extent of Rob and Jennifer's friendship.
He said that, Jennifer and he tried to maintain a friendship, that it had been, pretty rocky road. But I remember him saying this specific thing. I don't want you to get upset if you hear from someone that, they saw me talking to her at Walmart. Because, we have a pretty long past together, and, I was understanding about it. I didn't always like it, but I never questioned that. I questioned, and I feel so guilty saying this, but I questioned her motives for calling. And
sure.
She would come over and knock on the door for a long time, and I just never did answer it.
Investigators continued this line of questioning.
Let me ask you a question straight up. Did she ever say she's going to be a girlfriend later?
Say that she was going to go over there?
Let her and let her know that she's pregnant with your kid?
Oh, yeah.
When did she say that?
Oh, from the get-go, she'd say that.
In case you didn't catch that, in Rob's police interview, he said that Jennifer repeatedly told him she was going to go to Sarah Beth's house and tell her about the baby. This is from Sarah Beth's 2002 interview with investigators.
Your boyfriend is who?
Rob Holman.
Okay. And his full name is Robert, right?
Mm-hmm.
Robert Holman. Okay. Rob lives with you. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Sarah Beth is emotional from the start of the interview, and you can hear it in her voice.
So, tell me what happened on Mother's Day.
Mother's Day, I went to church with my family, my immediate family. And then I came back to my house. And then we went to Rob's family's house, his mom and dad's house. We stayed out there for a few hours.
Rob told investigators that he made it clear over the phone to Jennifer that she was not welcome at his family gathering.
I told her that I didn't want her to, it was my girlfriend out there, and I just don't like something like the situation there. That was pretty much just the conversation.
But investigators wondered if there was more to Rob and Jennifer's conversation that day.
They did talk on the phone for approximately an hour.
This is Daryl Parker, a former investigator with the Fannin County Sheriff's Office who once worked on Jennifer's case.
During that conversation, according to him, she wanted him to spend some time with her. She wanted to go visit his parents because she had a long relationship with them as well.
Back in 2002, Rob told investigators that while he'd moved in with his new girlfriend, Sarah Beth, he still had a soft spot for his ex-wife, Jennifer.
I'll always love her, but it's just one of those love her but can't live with her sometimes deal.
Rob didn't share any more details of his hour-long conversation with Jennifer when he spoke with investigators.
So according to Rob Holman, that's the last time he ever talked to Jennifer Harris, was during that phone call.
With Jennifer unwelcome at Rob's family gathering, she spent time with her grandmother and other relatives. Meanwhile, Rob and his girlfriend Sarah Beth visited his parents and hers in the Bonham area. Jennifer's grandmother told investigators that Jennifer said, "No one should be alone on Mother's Day." Around 1 p.m., Jennifer went to the mall with her grandmother and they had a late lunch at the Catfish King together. Jennifer's sister Alyssa remembers trying to reach her on multiple occasions, but Jennifer was always out and about.
I did a few times try to get in touch with her. One time I called, no one answered. And then I called around, it would be like around 6, 6:30 or something. And I called and Mimi answered. And I said, "Is Jennifer there?"
Mimi is what the girls called their grandmother.
She's gone to Christie's, Christie Farr's, a family friend's, to get a recipe for something. And so you just missed her again, but I'll tell her that you called her, you know.
At this point in time, Christie Farr's house in Bonham is the last known location of Jennifer Harris. She drove her green Jeep there around 6 p.m.
She left her grandmother's house and went to see a friend of hers.
Here again is Daryl Parker.
She went by Christie Farr's house to get a recipe for chicken spaghetti. So she arrived there and she spent some time talking to Christie. And then according to Christie, just before 8 p.m., Jennifer sort of said, "Oh my gosh, I gotta go. I'm supposed to meet someone." Now, unfortunately for us, she didn't tell Christie who she was going to go meet. But she rushed out of Christie's house and took off.
Christie told investigators that she remembered Jennifer wearing blue jeans and tennis shoes and carrying a dark backpack-style purse as she headed out the door.
And we know that she headed north on Highway 78.
And how do we know that?
Well, we know that because Rob Holman himself said that he met her at the intersection of Highway 78.
This is Rob describing his driving route to investigators.
I was on the 898 with 78 intersection. Four-way
stop.
Yeah, four-way stop right there.
You were stopped there.
I was coming up to it, and I saw her Jeep turn.
Which direction were you headed?
I was going to go buy some beer.
In 2002, Bonham was in a dry county, meaning you couldn't buy alcohol there. The quickest way to get beer would be to drive north into Oklahoma, across the Red River. Daryl Parker wanted to understand what time Rob would have seen Jennifer's Jeep at the Highway 78 intersection in Bonham before he allegedly went to go buy beer.
A lot of times when you talk about these things and you're trying to put things into order, sometimes you have to work backwards. You know, you hit an established point where we know this happened at this time, then you have to backtrack from there.
According to Rob's interview with investigators, after spending Mother's Day visiting family with his girlfriend Sarah Beth, the couple returned home to her house in Bonham. There, they turned on the TV and watched an episode of The Sopranos.
Woke up this morning, got yourself a gun.
On May 12, 2002, HBO aired a rerun of the Pine Barrens episode of The Sopranos at 7 p.m. If you're a television buff, you'll recognize that name because it's widely considered one of the greatest episodes ever made. In it, Paulie and Christopher think they've accidentally killed a man, and they drive to the Pine Barrens in a failed attempt to bury the body.
And The Sopranos show got over at 8 p.m. And according to both Rob Holman and Sarah Beth Ruffner, after the show ended, Rob Holman went out driving.
The audio here is a little rough, but this is Rob confirming that he went out driving.
Went out riding around like I always do.
In case you didn't catch that, Rob said, "I went out riding around like I always do." Interestingly, around 8 p.m. is the same time that Jennifer's friend Christy remembered her leaving the house to go meet someone.
According to Christy, just before 8 p.m., Jennifer sort of said, "Oh my gosh, I gotta go. I'm supposed to meet someone."
How confident are you on what happens after she says, "Oh my gosh, it's almost 8 o'clock. I've got to go"?
Well, just given the time frame, he comes to the intersection of 78 and this crossroad. It was the old airport road. And he sees Jennifer approach the intersection in her green Jeep. And she turns right onto the road that leads to County Road 2610. And he says that once she turned right to go that way, he wanted to avoid her, so he turned left.
If Rob truly did avoid Jennifer on Mother's Day, is a topic of great interest in this investigation.
You know, they had a pretty lengthy, significant conversation that morning where Rob Holman himself said she wanted him to come spend time with her. And just by coincidence, that evening, she goes to meet somebody.
The fact that Jennifer and Rob had continued to see each other after their divorce had largely been kept a secret.
She didn't want anyone in our family or anyone in Bonham knowing the things that she did. So everything was Jennifer's little kept secret as long as it was.
This is Jennifer's cousin, Susan Bowen, in a 2002 interview with investigators.
I know they still saw each other while they were separated. I think their divorce like drug out like a year. I can't remember exactly, but it took a long time. So anyway, they ended up getting their divorce. She told me off and on that she still saw him, and I heard it, you know, from different people, but that was just hearsay at the time.
Also in question was the validity of Jennifer's pregnancy as a whole.
On May 12, 2002, what we can put together is that we don't know whether or not Jennifer was pregnant, but we do know that she believed that she was pregnant.
According to Jennifer's good friend Jill, Rob was not pleased that Jennifer was claiming to be pregnant with his child.
Didn't want to be a dad, never plan on being a dad, couldn't understand why they had never done this. And she told me that he had told her that he would do whatever he could to convince her to have an abortion. And I said, "No, you need to give him, you know, a couple of days to cool off and, you know, kind of see if, you know, maybe he kind of changes his tune a little bit and has time to really think about what he's saying and, you know, everything like that." And she was like, yeah, that she really kind of felt like, you know, that he wasn't going to be responsible, mm-hmm. and that he didn't want to be responsible, you know, for it because it's not what he wanted. I mean, he didn't want to plan on that. And it would really kind of mess up things with his girlfriend, and I mean, if he had to tell her, and just obvious reasons why that would be an inconvenience.
Despite the difficulty, Jill said that Jennifer still expected Rob to come clean about their relationship and the pregnancy.
She was trying to give Rob time to tell his family, mm-hmm. not so much, you know, like his girlfriend, but she told me that he was supposed to be telling his parents pretty soon or something. And that she told him that she would give him time to, you know, tell a few people so that they didn't hear it. You know, his family didn't hear it through the grapevine that, you know, he was going to be a dad.
In Rob's interview with investigators, he admitted that he wanted Jennifer to get an abortion, just like her friend Jill Wagner had said.
Y'all talk about abortion. I told her that was the first time we talked about it. I asked her what she was going to do. She said she didn't know. And so I said, you can't, how are you going to take care of a baby? You don't have a job. You don't have anything. And I told her that if she wanted to have an abortion, I'd pay for an abortion.
Yeah, you not being a father, why would you pay for an abortion?
To keep her from saying that it was mine.
As far as Jill knew, Jennifer had recently told Rob that she'd made a big decision about her pregnancy.
The last she told Rob was that, you know, she wasn't going to have an abortion and that she was going to have the baby, whether he liked it or not, basically, and that he needed to...
That was the last time she talked to him that you know of?
I think so.
While that may have been one of the last times Jennifer actually spoke to Rob, it wasn't the only time she'd tried to contact him.
And then I know that she called the house where they live. One of the last times I talked to her, she said she and Sarah Beth had kind of had words because she was calling the house. And sure. Obviously, you know, Sarah Beth was like, you don't have any business calling here. You know, this is my house and you don't need to have, you know, there's nothing you need to be calling him about or for. And from her side, that's true, you mm-hmm. know, but she didn't know all mm-hmm. the other circumstances that were lying around and why she was needing to talk to Rob or why she felt it necessary to talk to him. And, you know, Jennifer told her, I guess, kind of, that she could call him anytime she wanted, and that.
When was that? When was the last time you talked, Jennifer?
I want to say, I guess the week she came back from her sister's from Boston. I want to say like Monday, Tuesday-ish.
This would have been May 6th or 7th, about 5 days before Jennifer disappeared on Mother's Day.
Did tell his parents. I just knew that she was under the impression that he was supposed to or was supposed to soon or he was about to or something.
On the next episode of Final Days on Earth, the life and death of Jennifer Harris.
And then she had another love interest in her life, and that was
it depends on who you talk to, but the people that know the real truth to it, it was James Hamilton.
Okay.
It was also her business partner. She was still carrying on this thing with Rob behind James' back, which I knew, but I couldn't tell James. I would tell her, I would say, you know, Jennifer, this isn't right what you're doing. I said, you've got to figure out what you want. And if Rob's happy, leave it alone. And she said, I know he still loves me.
Investigators call in the two main persons of interest.
When someone disappears, that's kind of the first thing you have to look at, you know, who would benefit from their disappearance?
I just, you're real worried and scared. Because I know that I don't have anybody to say where I was at that night.
Final Days on Earth is recorded in Dallas, Texas for Cold Case Productions in partnership with Podcast One. This episode was written and reported by me, Claire Sanima, and Hillary Wadsworth. Audio production by Matthew Malinger of Podcast One. Original theme music composed and performed by Riley Simmons. Associate producer is April Scales. Editorial consultant is Lucy Scott of LucyMedia.com. Executive producers are Sharon Richards and me, Claire Sanima. Special thanks to Alyssa Harris-Warnick and Daryl Parker for talking to me for this episode. If you have any information about the unsolved murder of Jennifer Harris, contact the Fannin County Sheriff's Department at 903-583-2000. 2143.